You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Who opened the door that night when San Francisco police arrived to the Pelosi house? Now, the Department of Justice says the two officers opened the door. That's according to a federal indictment filed earlier this week. But the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, in another court document that was filed earlier this month, said Mr. Pelosi opened the door with his left hand. So the question is, what really happened? According to a source familiar with the investigation who personally watched the police body camera footage from that night, officers knocked on the door of the Pelosi home, then backed away. And the video clearly shows Paul Pelosi opened the door with his left hand, just like what was noted in the documents filed by the DA's office.
So there you have a confliction in the story, a contradiction between what was being told by the San Francisco police, the district attorney's office, and then later the FBI when they got into the story in the attack on Paul Pelosi. I told you there are a lot of unanswered questions. Thank you for joining us always, November 15, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. I see more and more of you joining us daily. Some of you can watch us live while we're on the air when we're actually streaming. Others, you pull it up later. Glad it's good entertainment for you. We salute you and thank you for joining us. All you have to do is go to Rumble, enter in Larry Connors USA. It'll take you right to our page where you can push the button for live or watch it later. And remember, every audio portion of the program is put up at a podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And all of my local sponsors are included. Everything else is ripped out. So all of the folks who support this program, we give them bonus spots. If you're looking to be part of this program, you should keep that in mind because you're going to get bonus spots because we're going to make sure you get covered on Rumble and our podcast. All right, back to this reporter. This is an NBC reporter in San Francisco where Nancy Pelosi's estate is located, where the attack took place on Paul Pelosi at their mansion. Now, that day, when the story began to break from the previous night, there were already so many questions. I mean, supposedly the guy breaks into the back window, and yet most of the glass is on the outside of the house. And then when police get there, yes, they were telling reporters, another person opened the door, a third person. Who was the third person? Well, in deeper inquiry, they said, oh, there was no third person. It was a mix-up and confusion. Now, I can understand that happens. And I asked then, where is all the security video on Pelosi's house? The Capitol Police admitted they have a camera trained on her house all the time, a live stream, but they were not using it then. Let me put it this way. They were not watching it, but I know they got videotape of it. Did Pelosi let the guy in? I'd like to see that. And then the body cam video of the San Francisco police officers apparently has been seen, whether or not it's going to be released to the public. And Pelosi opens the door, according to the body cam. He doesn't seem to be frightened or fearful or anything else. He doesn't run to them and say, oh, my God, you're saving me. No, he invites them into the house. And that's where the attack takes place. Methinks something is wrong there. We'll go into that in more detail. By the way, that reporter for Simple Reporting, Simple Asking Questions, he's been suspended. Somebody higher up didn't like, don't be raising questions like that. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, author of the book More Crimes, or rather More Guns, Less Crime, is going to join us talking about how crime lately is rewarding more and more criminals, not the victims. And why didn't crime, border, inflation lead to a red wave? Well, we might find an answer from Joy Pullman, Federalist Senior Editor. And she said more women than expected showed up to vote in this election. And a lot of young college students voting for the first time, did they actually swing it? And did they really look at any details? Were they one issue worried in any way, such as abortion? Meanwhile, we've got an exit poll showing most New Yorkers say stopping illegal immigration is a top priority, not amnesty. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, smokes that lightning. Shine.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I am going to say to the Republicans in the Senate, who are not the MAGA Republicans, stop letting them lead your party. Work with us to get things done. And I intend to sit down with Mitch McConnell and express that. And
time?
I think
you've been asking for. Go on.
Just quickly, when are you going to? You're sitting down with Mitch McConnell this week?
No, I'm going to. I intend. I've said this yesterday and the day before too. I intend to sit down with him and say, how can we should be working together? You're not going to get the extremists in your party to work with anybody, but the rest of us can work together and get them some real things done for the American people.
In other words, roll over. Roll over. Elections have consequences, and you did not get your red wave. You didn't get a red tsunami. You got Zippo, pretty much. It's actually not true. There were some big gains in red area in areas that had been blue, New York State in particular. And, of course, Florida all went red. But it was not as forecast. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour as well as to at what point do we stop saying, oh, the hell with the polls, don't even bother? Do you know how many people they put out of work? How many companies would go belly up if we say, we don't want to see your stupid poll, it doesn't do us any good anymore? And because apparently the variables are getting too much, and we don't know if people are lying. We don't know if they really haven't made up their mind until they get in there and they suddenly make a snap decision. You know, they have a brain freeze because there's an ice cream on the way into the voting booth. And they're like, oh, my God, to push something. We have no idea. And it appears pollsters don't either. If you remember, every single pollster said Donald Trump will not beat Hillary Clinton. They were all saying that no way Trump is going to be president. No way she's going to lose. No way. Now, we had at that time Dr. Gerard Lamero when he was alive, and he had predicted in January of that election year, when we still had about 15, I think, Republican candidates, he said, I think Trump's going to be on top of all of them, and then in the final analysis, he will face off against Hillary and he will win. And Dr. Lamero was right. But these last polls are just like the others. We were all expecting one thing. I mean, I watched Brian Kilmeade on Fox News the other day. He said, I'm shocked. I'm surprised. It didn't come anywhere near what we thought. It's not a matter of if there's a red wave, red tsunami, but at least there were going to be better inroads. No. There were a lot of things that just went up in flames. I'm looking at all these, and we're going to get into some of them, but it's pretty hard to throw numbers at you on radio for you to keep up with it. But the bottom line is, Chuck Schumer says, what we will do is we are willing to work with Chuck, that we're willing to work with Mitch McConnell. And Mitch seems to be a good old guy. And here's something that probably will add to that. This is on Breitbart. Rhinos, that would be Republicans in name only, are considered working with Democrats to pick a House Speaker. The Republicans now, unless some vote changes, do hold control of the House. There's your check and balance. They may only hold it by one vote at last check. But they have the House. The Senate has being held by the Democrats. 50-50, it looks like, at this point still, and that would be VP Harris making the decision. But if the Republican Party is talking with Democrats on who's going to be House Speaker, somebody yelled, sell out, what kind of bribe is this? Why would you do that? Why would you go to the Democrats and say, help us pick a House Speaker? I'm all about compromise and working things around, and I do agree. I'm contrary to even Rush Limbaugh. I had problems with Limbaugh, as I do with Trump. You do have to give and take some, as long as you don't sacrifice your principles. But I don't know that these guys aren't going to sacrifice their principles. So here's Chuck D. Schumer saying we will work together with them, and we made it clear we will. That's what he was saying on MSNBC, as he's been saying. And Don Lemon Fruitcake, who is now the host of this morning program, or one of the three, I know he wants to get top billing. It's, after all, he was a prime time anchor, and numbers went to hell, so he got sent to the morning show. And I'll remind you, when I call him Don Lemon Fruitcake, just in case you want, I'm not referencing his sexual preferences. I could care less. I say that because he's nutty. But here's his question to Chuck Schumer.
What is going to be different this time with the MAGA Republicans? Because you said that before. Please work with us. Why is it different this time?
Why it's do
you
different think this be time because they lost. They all expected to win. The red wave proved to be a red mirage. And one, if not the main reason, but one of the main reasons for sure, was that average American folks, even those in the middle, even those who tended to be Republican, said, I'm afraid of this MAGA. They're trying to ruin our democracy.
They are trying to ruin our democracy. First of all, I'll remind you, we are a republic, not a true democracy. But let's don't quibble over the words. I mean, we all like to throw the word democracy around. That's okay. I'm just telling the facts that we're a republic. But if you listen to Chuck Schumer, basically, all those MAGA people should be burned at the stake. They're dangerous to the economy. They're dangerous to the entire nation. In fact, he was reemphasizing that point.
Average American folks, even those in the middle, even those who tended to be Republican, said, I'm afraid of this MAGA. They're trying to ruin our democracy. It's not, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the results, House and Senate, The MAGA Republican way didn't work. The MAGA Republican candidates across the board, you just showed some of them, lost. Yeah. So if you're a good leader of a Republican Party, you say continuing to follow them is a path to disaster.
Well, I will say that Lieutenant Governor West Virginia Winsome Sears, black woman, elected as a Republican for that position, got in there with the help of Donald Trump and MAGA supporters. And she's even saying already, we need to change directions. This election did not work, and we need to, and a good leader will step away, and another horse will be put in. Not so fast. Tonight, we've got Donald Trump expecting to make a major statement at Mar-a-Lago. He apparently plans to open his 2024 election cycle despite the failure of the election-denying acolytes in the midterms and usual ambivalence among GOP lawmakers. So he is apparently looking to hope claim credit for a banner Republican midterm performance to supercharge his win back to the presidency. At least that was the plan. That plan didn't work. So now maybe he's going to go about that, well, if you had followed me and done what you should have done in the beginning, first of all, Biden would not have been in office. I would agree with that. And two, if we had been in control and done things correctly as we should have here in the midterm and made it all the way, don't just take it for granted, but fight tooth and nail all the way. Oh, my God, there I go. That means another Capitol Hill assault because I said fight? No, it doesn't. But that's the way they look at it on that side. But if he said if we'd been stronger, we would have seen what I expected. So maybe you do need a new commander in charge, not the same commander. You need the guy that led you to the rally last time. And I'm not going to deny that, except when he starts dividing the party and pointing to Ron DeSantis and letting his ego get in the way. I'm talking about Trump's ego get in the way, which is pretty damn big. And if he's going to take the attitude that, well, Ron DeSanctimonious is not going to be good for the nation. Mr. Former President, I would respectfully disagree there. Ron DeSantis and his state of Florida did better than any other state did during the coronavirus lockdown and rules and regulations and everything else. They didn't follow what they were being told and ordered to by the federal government. They changed a lot of things up. They've been fighting against the woke culture and doing an excellent job with it. See, it's not to me, as I pointed out the other day, and I'm still working on an article for a publication on, it's not just the loss of candidates winning or losing. We had an opportunity that was lost to put out a mandate. Get your stinking hands off our children. Quit pushing CRT on them in school. Quit bringing in drag queens for third and fourth graders. And if for that matter, get all that stuff out of our military and everything else that you've infiltrated. We missed that mandate. So now they basically have taken the attitude, well, I guess we can continue. They didn't really put up that big of a fight, did they? So again, back to Senator Chuck Schumer, he said, the problem is it's, and he would say this, regardless of what Trump decides tonight, and Trump more than likely is going to announce, I am going to run. But Chuck Schumer is going to take the approach, you and all your MAGA, you're bad.
And I say to my Republican colleagues, embracing the MAGA way of divisiveness, nastiness, negativity, without constructive compromise, that's how Donald Trump wanted it, and some of our colleagues follow him. That will be a disaster. That will be wrong. It'll be bad for America, but it will also be bad for the Republican Party. Because these elections have shown that the MAGA Republican way is not where the American people want to be.
Well, to that extent, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, has said that he's been confident Republican senators will reelect him as GOP Senate leader, even though they didn't reclaim the Senate from Democrats, which means Schumer stays in position. And if he receives enough votes, McConnell will become the longest-serving party Senate leader in history, surpassing Mike Mansfield. But the problem is a lot of, quote, MAGA and other Republicans and conservatives and independents, they're tired of Schumer. He's not doing anything. He's like the cook that's been in the kitchen too long. He might turn out a good meal, but I don't know if you'll ever see it. He'll eat it before it gets delivered. This guy is, he's just failing to deliver. His talk isn't even as strong as it was at one time. He's been successful in dividing the Republican Party just as much as Trump has. He just does it in a different venue. It's a little bit more of a clandestine attack. So, Chuck Schumer and James Carville. James Carville, of course, being the, once upon a time, the advisor to Bill Clinton. His remarks.
These elections have shown that the MAGA Republican way is not where the American people want to be.
MAGA still runs the Republican Party. They understand that's who they are, and they're not going to change. They have everything invested in this, and they'll say, "Look, we barely lost because we weren't MAGA enough. You know, we tried to run some of these squishy candidates." Of course, it's not true, but that's what they're going to tell themselves, and they can't get off of it. They're on the crack.
They're on crack. He said they're all on crack. James Carville. Oh, and he's got a few words about the reporters following everyone around. His analogy of these birds is, I think, pretty accurate when it comes, I say, the press referring them as birds. You'll explain when we continue.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The press is like blackbirds on a power line. And when one blackbird flies, they all fly with it. All right? And Michael Moore was more definitive and optimistic than I was. I'll give him credit for that. But I did see that these polls were not moving. The polling averages were not moving. I see probably more Senate polls than any layperson in the United States. And they were all kind of 48-48, but you would expect, and I've been a victim of a big election, try 1994, sure. You would expect it to start moving at the end. And it stubbornly didn't move, and it wasn't, you know, like one of these astronomers. They see something that's not right with that planet. There's something else going on. And you could sense there was something else going on because these polling averages, I mean, I didn't say the Democrats were going to win, but they certainly didn't say it was moving away from them.
And that's the key. That again, James Carville from New York, from New Orleans, and talking and telling you what was probably wrong is that they were never right. And when one blackbird goes, they all go. You've seen that happen. And if one stays there, you're thinking, what's wrong with this bird? This bird might be right. No fear, I could stay here. But he is correct. The press kind of follows each other around. I'm telling you, I have been in the business for 50-plus years, and they will follow whatever they think, and they will jump on. They spend all their time. They put, at that time, helicopters in the air. They'll put TV vans in the street in front of a house. They'll do all of this, and it's all just packed journalism, herd journalism. And like most herds, generally speaking, they end up leaving a lot of, plenty of fertilizer behind sometimes. And actual trash. I've seen where they've gone to homes and they set up on a grieving family or whatever the situation is, and they just throw the trash out. I mean, come on, guys. If you're going to be there, at least show some decency for the people And then, of course, that old ambush question that everybody used to ask, and they still do. They've gotten smart enough to not ask it directly. Your child just got run over by a truck. How do you feel? How do you think they would feel? But that's kind of the herd journalism that's been in existence and exists today, and especially inside the Beltway. Let's go back to Carville as he was talking earlier about the MAGA group running the Republican Party. Aside from what the polls and everything show, keep this in mind. Tonight, Trump's going to make an announcement, and he'll either gather the MAGAs back together, and by MAGA, I think anybody who wants to make America great again is good. It's a good idea. But they have now turned it into a slur word. Listen.
MAGA still runs the Republican Party. They understand. That's who they are. And they're not going to change. They have everything invested in this. And they'll say, look, we barely lost because we weren't MAGA enough. You know, we tried to run some of these squishy candidates. Of course, it's not true, but that's what they're going to tell themselves. And they can't get off of it. They're on the crack. And you just watch. And there's always thing about, oh, no, wait a minute. We're going to get the Republican Party back and we're going to have George H.W. Bush's. No, you're not. It's gone. Bye-bye. And MAGA is running the show. And I suspect they're going to run the show for the foreseeable future.
Bye-bye. We're done with that. Whether or not you agree with Carville, you got to appreciate the way he styles things and says things. He's very candid and very direct. Now, when he said they're on crack, okay, that's really over the top, but don't let it be. Let him say it. But he said the MAGA party still runs a Republican Party. That's going to be interesting because we're about to see tonight what Trump ends up saying. And will he say something that will embrace and bring, quote, MAGA party conservatives, more Democrats back in? Or will he cause a dividing line? I will say this, if he says one wrong thing or mocking DeSantis, it is a wrong statement. If I had control of his speech right now and I saw that, I would strip that out of there and say, Mr. President, do not go down that road. This is where you need unity more than ever. You've already got a Mitch McConnell and you got other members talking about, well, let's get the Democrats to help us pick a House leader. What kind of deal would you get, you think? All right, coming up, and we have more and more issues with crime. Where was that on the ticket this time? Why wasn't that so big of a deal? Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and we are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now, enter in Larry Connors USA in the search engine. It'll take you right into studio. If you can't do it now, remember you can go back later and watch. I see many of you do that as well. And every program appears later as a podcast on LarryConnorsUSA.com. And my sponsors, those who sponsor this program, I give them bonus spots to appear inside those podcasts when folks are listening later and in the Rumble. I want them to get every value they can for their dollar. And I do appreciate them, and I appreciate you supporting them. All right, let's go back to what we saw with the so-called red wave. And we were saying, and why would we not say, I don't care what the polls were saying. We were saying crime in the streets is at an all-time high, assaults not being actually prosecuted, and when anyone's arrested, they're immediately turned loose. My guest coming up is head of the Crime Prevention Research Center, also author of the book, More Guns, Less Crime. John Lott, glad to have you on board again, sir.
It's great to talk to you again, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
So tell me, and you wrote a piece that it appeared in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and I want to get into that to some extent, titled When Protecting Criminals' Rights Comes at the Expense of Victims. And you've got some good points there I want to get into. But before that, why do you think crime just suddenly evaporated at the polls for the voters?
You know, I don't know. You need to have a political expert. I'm an economist, and I do.
I don't know anybody that can answer the question. I'm sorry. I guess I could say it's a trick question. Go ahead.
It's outside my pay grade. So,
but you acknowledge.
You know, I'm not sure it disappeared. But it, you know, it's something that the media hasn't really covered at all. There are lots of other issues that the media was covering.
Well, of course, inflation and kitchen table issues, but crime is rampant as it is, and it's very interesting because if you recall when Lee Zeldin was running, a congressman to be New York governor, and that came up in the debate, and he's pressing Hochul, why aren't you doing this, why aren't you doing that, and her attitude was, why are you so concerned about crime? And I'm thinking, what?
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that was one of the stupider comments that are there. I mean, I guess it kind of gets up there with the guy who was the Democrat who was running for governor in Virginia when he was basically telling parents to butt out of questions about their kids' education.
Well, the only time we hear anything about crime that comes from the left is, oh, my God, guns were involved, so let's get more gun laws, when, in fact, we don't even know if a gun law was broken, and, in fact, if it was a legal situation and the person didn't follow the gun laws we already have.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I don't think most people understand that over 92% of violent crime has nothing to do with guns. You know, the interesting thing is that if you look at surveys, the people who are most wrong about the percentage of violent crime involving guns are the people who went to graduate school and who make like over $200,000 a year. The people who have the best guesses about the percentage of violent crime involving guns are the people who have like high school diplomas or less, or who make less than $50,000 a year. You know, it's basically the people who actually are most likely victims of violent crime,
right,
who have a more accurate notion of what violent crime involves.
And in Missouri, you got Congresswoman Cori Bush saying, yeah, I pay $70,000 to $80,000 a year private security. What is it? You want to see a black woman killed? I have to have security. There are people up and down our streets that would love to have that kind of security. I want to get to your article that you wrote. That again, this appeared in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You're listening, John Lott, president of Crime Prevention Research Center. I want to read a few statements here. It begins, it took 4 years and 9 months before Nicholas Cruz was finally sentenced for the murder of 17 in the horrific Parkland massacre. Keep that in mind, 4 years, 9 months. So much of the legal system focused on fairness to the criminal, but the damage to the victims and their families as they wait for trial is tremendous. Those who have to testify or give victim impact statements must continually think about what they're going to say. There's also uncertainty about the verdict, whether the murderer will be punished. And in the Parkland case, the victims were denied closure of Cruz getting the death penalty. Boy, I tell you, those four paragraphs tell us everything about crime and punishment in this country.
I mean, there are lots of states that have so-called victims' bill of rights that go and promise speedy trials, you know, from the victim's perspective. But there's no teeth in it. There's no actual rules that are put there to make it operational. You know, by contrast, there are whole sets, massive sets of rules in terms of guaranteeing a speedy trial if that's what the criminal wants to have.
And that's constitutional,
The criminals have all sorts of abilities to go and delay trials if that's what they want. And but, you know, if you're constant, I have a woman who's written about in that piece,
right?
Nikki Gozer, who's a co-author. Her stalker is facing trial. It's been delayed for a fourth time now. And she has to prepare to testify each time. She goes through nightmares and stuff while she's trying to do it. She's worried. She gets worried about what the defense attorney is going to go after her on when she's up there. And so, you know, you get ready for that. And then the criminal's defense attorney asks for a delay in the trial, and it has to get put off again. I don't think people realize the emotional damage that does to these victims and prevents them from getting any type of closure.
Yeah, I cannot imagine, especially if your child was one of the ones taken down in something like that. You have a story in here of a guy who shot a woman's husband to death in front of 50 witnesses, filmed on restaurant security video, and even though it happened November 8th, that was the third attempt to have the trial. It won't occur until January 2023. And the night before murder, he had posted on social media to the guy, "I know who you are. Run. Where will you work? Where I can't find you. At home, at dinner, in your sleep. Every F waking moment, I will get to you." And they've got to have a trial when you got it on video and everything. I get upset with reporters when they say the reported gunman. He's right there in the video firing the gun. That's not a reported gunman. It's not a suspected gunman. No, go ahead.
Alleged.
Throw that in there.
Yeah. Right. This stalker had murdered her husband. He was sentenced to second-degree murder, and not first, unbelievably. But he's continued to stalk her from prison. And he's continued to send her Valentine's Day cards and Christmas cards and pictures of himself and things like that. And so she's tried to go and get this early release credit that he was given by the prison system revoked. But the prison system, people have told her that they don't want to go and upset the criminal rights groups. So they don't want to, even though
they told her that
committing crime.
They told her in those words?
Well, I was on the phone call. I listened to it. They told her that exact point, that they were worried about upsetting the prisoners' rights groups.
Well, you know, we had this situation at University of Virginia the other day, and the police chief is saying we'd already been alerted about the shooting suspect back in September. He'd already had some felony conviction involving a gun. Then he turns around and shoots five on the UVA campus over the weekend, killing three, leaving two wounded. I mean, you want a red flag law? My God, it's waving right in front of your face. A bull would charge at that. And prosecutors kind of, I don't know.
Well, the thing is, all the states already have a law in place that's even better than the red flag law. It deals with involuntary commitment. It goes by different names in different states.
Sure.
But it's basically, if there's a complaint, the person can be evaluated by mental health care experts. If they believe that there's a serious concern there, there can be an immediate hearing. If the person can't afford a lawyer, one's provided for them. With red flag laws, there's no hearing. The judge is given a piece of paper with some complaint. He never talks to the person who made the complaint. There's no hearing. You can't cross-examine or question witnesses that are going to be there.
It's clearly an effort to damage and attack our Second Amendment rights. John Lott, I'm so glad you're there helping us protect them. And John Lott, again, the president of the Criminal Prevention Research Center. John, as always, thank you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving. Or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, I had a touch of this earlier for you. I want to go over it in more detail with you because it's one of these telling stories that just re-verifies as to why so many are leaving crime-ridden areas. As we were just discussing with John Lott of the Crime Research Prevention Center, that we've got so many people that are being exposed to this on a constant basis, and if they're not getting any satisfaction, they're not getting the police protection because police have been, quote, defunded, or they're being slurred and slandered so often. I mean, they're at the point that why would you want to sign up to be a police officer? And if you have fewer and fewer candidates to pull, then you're going to have a less qualified. You don't have a top of the grade, top of the intellect ability. I'm not saying that you're going to be getting any rocket scientists anyway, but you're still going to be getting people of a little bit better character and ethics. The more you lower the bar to reach your number of officers on the street, the more likely you are picking up some dregs of society who now have a badge and a gun. The worst thing that could happen. I've got a study here by Zogby Analytics for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. New Yorkers, of course, battling crime on a constant basis. We know that. And part of it is they're recognizing there's a lot of illegal immigration that's showing up in their area. 58% of New Yorkers say they believe a new Congress should prioritize stopping illegal immigration. Now, let's stop right there. One moment. One moment, please. New York City is a city of immigrants. We all know that. It is the melting pot. But they are supposed to be legal. Are there a lot of them there illegally? Probably so. Are they causing any troubles or harm? Are they just trying to earn a living either on the street or bodega or doing something like that? Probably. Are they paying some taxes while they do it? They may not. But they're just trying to better their lives for them and their family. But you got in the midst thugs and gang members. 11% of New Yorkers said the highest priority of Congress should be giving amnesty to illegal aliens. 25% said increasing legal immigration should be a top priority. But I go back to saying 58% said they believe we should prioritize stopping illegal immigration by securing our border. 58% of them non-college educated voters, 62% white voters, 52% of Hispanic voters. Mitt Romney suggested the other day, yeah, for what this is worth, the Republican Party back increases to the nation's already historically high legal immigration levels by rewarding more than 1 million foreign nationals with green cards annually, another 1 million with temporary work visas to take American jobs. We have a lot of jobs out there, 6 million plus, that are not being filled because this government says, just give them a check. Give them a check. Put them on the government teat. We've had generations of families raised that way. That has not been good for them or the nation. And many of them, to their credit, walked away from it. Said, no, we're going to, I don't want a handout. I want to make things happen. Now, I want to go to college. I want to pay for it. I'm going to do the best I can. If I had to work long hours, a slim majority of the New Yorkers, 52%, blame Biden's policies for more than 5.5 million border crossers and illegals coming into our southern border over the last 2 years. Now, only 14% said that his policies have discouraged illegal immigration. What the heck are they smoking? There's nothing Biden's policies have done to basically, as they say here, what's the phrase again they use, to discourage illegal immigration. No, there's nothing like that at all. All right, so tonight, Trump is going to make an announcement at Mar-a-Lago. Probably to announce he's going to run for 2024. He had set this date in motion before the midterm election, saying, I didn't want to interfere with him. And he probably thought it'll be such a big red wave. I mean, we were all expecting it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to get carried away, and I kept saying, you still got to show up to vote. But now he's got to do it in the face of, it was pretty much, as far as predicted, it was a disaster compared to the prediction. It wasn't really. I mean, there are a lot of good things that did come out of it, but not what we were expecting. So he might present himself as the savior, comes in on the horse again. And I'm not mocking him, and that's okay. I mean, he turned our economy around and did an excellent job with it. If Biden had just come in and been a caretaker, we would be in excellent condition in this nation right now. All he had to do was do what Trump left in place. My problem here, and I'm going to repeat it again, I hope I do not have to do it again tomorrow. If Trump uses this as a chance to bang and beat up on Ron DeSantis, bad, bad, bad idea. That's not going to help us come together. And we need it now more than ever. Coming up, a look at the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.